And so thankful to be back at Bible. And I guess I'm getting to be a regular fixture around here. There was a few years ago that I'd show up in the parking lot and I'd have security that would usher me into the building and make sure that I was taken care of. And I lost the status, I believe. And so now I just tiptoe my way in. Hopefully nobody sees me, and sneak on down to the front to be as secure as I can be. And that goes back a few years that I would show up at Jubilee and dark sunglasses, headphones, earbuds, walkie-talkies, ushering Peter Chamberlain into the building. And you say, what'd you do to deserve that? Nothing. We just had a good time with it. And sure made all them visitors wonder, who in the world is this guy coming in? And but we're so thankful. Thank you for continuing to allow your preacher to come up and preach for us in November. And I know my wife thanks you more for allowing Miss Nolita to come up with him. And so we're thankful for that. Great to have three of our faithful men that are here with me. No issues whatsoever out of any three of these men that come down here with me, and I'm thankful for them. And being able to travel with me this week, be able to come down here. Some are spending some time back and forth down at the print shop and up at the meetings, and just have a heart for being able to serve the Lord, and we're thankful for that and all that the Lord's doing. We bring greetings from the church. Some of our folks might be live streaming right now, and but we're thankful for that. Pray for us. We're hoping to get home tomorrow night. And the snowstorm's supposed to be over up there about 9 or 10 o'clock tomorrow night. And so hopefully it gets plowed out. We're supposed to land about 12:30, 12:45 midnight. And so we'll see. My figure is we're going to make it to Charlotte, and then they're going to say snowstorm, and we're overnighting in Charlotte, right next to Concord, North Carolina. And but we'll see. But it is good to be down here for the week and see all that the Lord's doing. Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would, turn to Psalm chapter 63. Psalm chapter 63 is where we'll be this evening as we read down through this psalm that David was writing as he's running from Saul. We'll say more about that here in just a moment. But Psalm chapter 63, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen it in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. We sing a song back home in our songbook, and I'm sure it's in yours here too, entitled, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? I love this phrase down here in verse number 8, where it says, My soul followeth hard after thee. Boy, what a statement that David is making in verse 8, My soul followeth hard after thee. Now, in Psalm 63, We understand from the background of what's taking place here that David is literally fleeing for his life from King Saul. And you say, why would he be fleeing? Well, the reason for that is because Saul is jealous. Saul is not walking with God. Saul has actually tried to make David a human pincushion with a javelin that he threw as they were at the dinner table. I believe I would excuse myself at that moment also and step out if I may. And so he's running for his life. At this time, we find him hiding out in a cave. It would be at this time that his men would say that God has delivered Saul into your hand, but David says, I will not touch the anointed of the Lord. And he slips up there, cuts a little piece. Imagine how hard Saul must have been sleeping and all the men around him for David to get that close and to be able to cut that piece off the hem of his skirt, slip back behind the rocks, wait for Saul and all his men to exit that cave, and then for David to step out there and hold it up at the door of the cave, and even for Saul to say, you're more noble than I am. You have more integrity than I have. It's during this time, as David is running for his life, he's already been anointed. He already has the call and the touch of God upon his life. But can I remind us that the timing of the anointing and the touch of God upon the life may be different than the touch and the anointing for the timing of God upon your life. And so understanding that, and especially here in David's life. And so we're finding him, and he's out here running for his life, and he makes that statement, my soul followeth hard after thee. And I want to preach for a few moments, and I really do want to be a blessing and encouragement and a challenge to us if we need to this evening about run hard after God. Run hard after God. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm able to do that. Well, there's a few verses down through here that I want us to look at here. And first of all, I want us to see that to run hard after God, we need to desire God in the dry places. Desire God in the dry places. Now, David was here, and he was physically in a dry and a desert place. But he said this. He said that he was in a dry and a thirsty land where no water was. But I want you to see this. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. You see, that's not just saying that I want a drink of water. That is something that is deep down inside of David at this point saying, listen, I'm in a dry place. But then he took it a step further. And I talked to a man last week and I said, can you imagine? And look at this next phrase. I think we are so far from this in Christianity today. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. He said, my flesh longeth for thee. Can you imagine getting to the point that even our flesh was craving God? You say, boy, I don't know if that's possible because our flesh is at enmity with God. Well, what if our flesh was in so subjection to the Holy Spirit of God in our lives that the desires of our flesh were in accordance to the will of God and the Spirit of God in our lives? And the desire for God in a dry place. Now, this is a physically dry and thirsty land. But I'm telling you right now, there's not anybody that's been saved for any length of time and going to church for any length of time that you haven't been in a place like this spiritually.
That's right.
Now, we may not stand up and testify about this all the time. We'll testify when we come out of it on the other side. But we've been there spiritually. When you get there and you read your Bible and it is just a get up in the morning and I'm just reading it and checking off my daily to-do list. Now listen, if you say, oh, I've never been there, then you're a super Christian. It's never been, listen, that you just grab a gospel tract and you hand it out because you know it's a duty and you saw a pastor out of the corner of your eye and you know someone was going to say something. You knew you had a young Christian with you, and you knew you needed to do it. You know that you haven't spent the time in prayer like you're supposed to be spending, and because you're in a dry place spiritually. Listen, we've been there. You say, what's the answer to it? Run hard after God. Now, I want you to see this. He mentions four things down through here about the desiring of God in a dry place. In verse number 2, I want you to see that there's a desire to see his power. You say, where do you get that? Right here in verse number 2. He says, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. You ever been to the point spiritually that you get there and you say, God, I just want to see your working and your power in my life. God, you just got to reveal. It's just been too long since I've seen your hand working. Hey, listen, I'm not talking miraculous things that we would say of provision or healing or guidance. I'm just talking every day of our lives, just saying, God, I just want to see your power. God, I just want to see you work. You know, the sad part is that most churches have gone so long without seeing the power of God working in their hearts and in their lives, they wouldn't even know what it is to see thy power. But here David is. Listen, this is the same man that stood before King Saul, the one that was chasing him and trying to kill him, and told him about the power of God to be able to deliver the lion into his hands and the bear into his hands, and to step out onto that battlefield with a slingshot and a smooth stone and take down the champion of the Philistines. And now he's running for his life. I wonder how many times David thought, God, you let me take down Goliath. Why won't you just take down Saul? God, why are we going through? And just desiring to see the power of God. Be honest between you and the Holy Spirit of God in your hearts tonight. How long has it been since you've known and seen a genuine moving of the power of the Holy Ghost of God in your life? A desire to see the power of God. I want to see him work. I don't want it to be an obscure thing in our lives. I want it to be, listen, if we don't see it every day, something's wrong. I was told years ago, said Peter, if you start looking for the hand of God in your life every day, you'll see it. Amen. Start looking somewhere. You'll see the hand of God. Listen, desiring God. You may be in a dry place spiritually tonight. Hey, we've got it going on. It just seemed like in the past 2 weeks, it seemed like winter decided to show up in New Hampshire. I'll say this. You remember 2 weeks ago, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Pensacola, Florida, they had more snow on the ground than Concord, New Hampshire. Just being honest with you, it has been cold, but that's not winter. Winter is snow. And they had more snow down there than we've had up north. Now it's kicking in. Now we've got them every 2 or 3 days that we're plowing, we're shoveling. We're, hey, are we going to church? Probably not tomorrow. Are we going on Sunday? I don't know. It's a big day. That'll probably shut down too. Listen, we get into these ruts spiritually. And if we're not careful, listen, we can just, especially this time of year, you say, oh, I'm just locked in. The days aren't long enough. The weather's not good. There's not as much sunshine. Just on and on. And I'm thinking, he walked in with an overcoat on tonight. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? I said, it's 70 degrees outside. I said, you got an overcoat on. Spiritually, we go through seasons in our lives. And it may be today, or you could probably testify about one in the past. Or if you say, I've never experienced that, then just hold on in your Christian life, because there's one that's coming. And here's the anointed king of Israel saying, my soul is thirsting for thee in a dry and thirsty land to see thy power and thy glory. A desire for God in the dry places. A desire to see his power. But then we see a desire to be in his place in verse number 2. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Yes. Now you can say what you want about getting to church. But there's just something about being here.
Yes, that's right. That's the truth.
Now, it may get real quiet in just a moment. Up where I live, we deal with this stuff all the time. Well, preacher, I can be the church. And I'm just going to go out here and I can be the church for the rest of the week. Well, I beg your pardon, but you can't be. You say, well, yeah, we can. We can be the church. Listen, by very definition of the word, you cannot be the church. I cannot be the church, because church literally means a called out and gathered assembly. Well, I'm going to go be the church by myself. No, you're not. There is something, and do you understand what David is saying here? I just want to get back to the sanctuary. He hadn't been there for a while. Boy, something that we take for granted, don't we? Hey, anybody ever been out sick for a while? I'm talking laid up. You couldn't get to church if you wanted to get to church. And you're thankful for live streaming. You're thankful to be able to see a picture and just be able to be part of the service and what's taking place. Someone once said that live streaming is like having that fireplace on your television. You get the visual effect, but you don't get the warmth. Get the visual effect. Hey, listen, there's just something about being in church. There's just something about being gathered. And we don't truly understand or appreciate it till you don't have it. And do you understand David is sitting on the backside of a cave running for his life, and he's saying, God, I just want to see your power. God, I just want to be in your sanctuary. God, if I could just be there where you're at, that's where I want to be. You know why? Because he had a desire in the dry places. It's amazing how them dry places will reveal the very desires of our heart. Not only a desire to see his power and a desire to be in his place, but he had a desire, verses 3 and 4, to be able to sing his praises. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Boy, what a statement is made there. You say, oh no, I don't think I could praise God if I was going through what David is going through here. Hey, listen, if you can't praise God with what you're going through now, you wouldn't be able to praise God in the backside of a cave. We go through some things. It was sung today, early morning up there at the meeting, about Job stepping out. Hey, listen, I saw the video. I think it was down in Alabama a few years ago that someone stepped up out of the basement of their house after the tornado had come through and wiped everything out, and they walked up out of the stairs of their basement to open sky, and they had the video camera going just to be able to catch it as they walked up, and there was nothing there. And the first thing out of their mouth was, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I thought, listen, here David is, and shame on me, being on the backside of a cave and desiring for God in a dry and a thirsty land. And David saying, listen, all I want to do is praise thee. I just want to lift my hands up to you in the sanctuary because you're worthy to be praised. You say, what'll make a difference in the dry and thirsty land? It'll make a difference when we start praising him anyway. What can you praise him for? You say, but preacher, you don't understand how long it's been since I've been in this dry place. Keep praising him. How long am I going to have to run for my life? David didn't know either. He still praised him. He never lost his desire to be in the sanctuary and to praise him and to see his power. Never lost that desire whatsoever in his life. In fact, listen, when it was all over and he got word that Saul and Jonathan were dead, he mourned them. He wasn't rejoicing. He wasn't saying, boy, it's over, I get to go back. No, he was mourning them. You mean the cause of his dryness and his thirsty land? He was mourning that it was over with. Let me ask you something. I wonder how many times, and listen, you can think back over your life, and I know back over my life, there's been times that you go through things and God just reveals himself to you in such a way during the deepest, darkest hour that you might be going through. And when God brings us out the other side and we're making it on the other side, sometimes, and listen, the world will think we're crazy through all this, that we look back and say, boy, that was a sweet time in my life. Why? Look what it cost you. Look what you had to go through. Oh, but you don't understand. Boy, it was during that time that the presence of God was so real in my life. And I was going through a dry and a thirsty land, and I just desired to see his power. I just desired to be able to sing his praises. I just desired to be able to be in his place. I wonder what our church services would be like if we had that desire in verse number 2 of his sanctuary every Sunday morning when we walked in here.
Yes.
Now, we take it as just a cliche statement that we'll stand up and start a testimony. I just want to say I'm happy to be here. Are we really? That ought to be more than just an opening statement. It ought to be, what if we, man, I got to come to church today and I'm thankful I still get to raise my hands and sing his praises. A desire for God in the dry places. But then we jump down a little bit further in verse number 7, we see the desire to be in his protection. He said in verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I won't take the time this evening to be able to get into it, but how many love them verses over in Psalm chapter 91, verses 1, 2, and 3, that we get to dwell in the secret place. We get to be under the shadow of his wings. Listen, there is no place more safe going through the storm for baby chicks than under the wings of the mama hen. No place more safe. That's what Jesus said about Jerusalem. He said, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks? But you wouldn't. And here David is saying, listen, I want to be under your wings. Now, we know this in verse number 8, thy right hand upholdeth me. We won't take the time tonight. Sometimes just pull out your concordance and just do a word study and look up every time that the right hand of God is mentioned in the scripture.
Amen.
Just look at the right hand, always a symbol and an example of the almighty power and strength of God. In fact, spoiler alert, the right hand is revealed as the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm under your wings. I'm under your protection. Hey, listen, just because you're in a dry and thirsty land does not mean you're outside the protection of Almighty God. Doesn't mean that. There's going to be times, hey, listen, we read it over the classes in John chapter number 4 where Jesus sat down at the well there being wearied in his journey, needed something to drink. He was physically tired. Oh, he was thirsty. He was dry. He must have been out of the will of God. No, he wasn't. He just needed to run hard after the well. And I thought, Lord, if you'd help us too. I said, every one of us, listen, we go through times that spiritually it is dry and desert, and you may be there tonight, or you may just be coming out of it, and you may be going into a difficult time, but you listen, desire for God.
Yes.
Second of all, in these last few verses here, 9, 10, and 11, I don't just see the desire God in a dry place, but I see dependent upon God in the difficult places. He said in verse number 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Now listen, that word hard is not describing a piece of oak, but it is meaning pressing or with urgency or diligently is describing how he is following after God. It is almost like this. You ever been walking somewhere and your little kid's right behind you and they're stepping on your heels? And you just back up a little bit. Then there comes a day you wish they were stepping on your heels. And they're following. You know what that is? That's following hard after. It's that person that while you're walking, I mean, you know they're right there. I mean, they're not putting any separation. I mean, every step you take, they are in step with you. If you stop, they run into the back of you. Do you understand what David's saying here? That's how my soul's running after you.
Amen.
I wonder, let me pause right now. I wonder if that describes how our soul tonight is running after God.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's casual. It's just, I'm not running hard after him. I mean, not running hard. You know what the problem is? There's some that run harder after a boy or a girl than they will after God. There's some that'll run harder after a job, run harder after a career than they will after God. Run harder after approval of mankind than they will about running hard after God. Desire God in the dry places. Depend upon God in the difficult places. I want you to see in verse number 8, we depend upon him for strength. In verse number 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. The strength of Almighty God. Let me ask you something. You ever gotten to the point that you said, God, I can't go on? Lord, I don't think we're going to make it. I'm in the backside of a cave. It's a dry and a thirsty land. I'm sure thankful for the right hand of God. If it wasn't for the right hand of God, what's holding you up tonight? Probably just the right hand of God. It's no wonder David could say when he realized that it's the right hand of God that's upholding him, saying, I'm dependent upon God for my very strength to be able to go forward. There's going to come a day, listen, you know this as well as I do, as you journey through this thing called the Christian life, that there's going to come a point you say, listen, I don't think I can take a step forward. I think I'm going to write a song about that, that I don't even think I can walk without him holding my hand. His right hand upholdeth me. Depend upon him for strength. But then here's where it gets real right here. You say, well, look at this. Depend upon him for separation from enemies. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. You say the enemies that seek to destroy. Now listen, I know there's not too many of us that have an arch enemy. Okay, I understand that. Do you understand David did? And David was literally speaking about those that were seeking to destroy him. We only think, and most of the time today, it is just character assassination. It is just to break up the clique that they're part of. Most of the time it's teenage girls talking. Okay, let's just get down to it, okay? It's just teenage girls talking, and in two statements, they can destroy the character of the other girl sitting across at the end of the row. You don't believe that to be the truth? It's true. It's true. Hey, listen, you say, it is amazing that any teenage girl or teenage boy with all the drama even makes it to adulthood because they're going to die by the time they're 15. It is amazing. Do you know what they better depend upon? The Lord for their strength.
Yep.
And get rid of all the drama in life. But guess what? I found out it doesn't stop when they turn 18. I found out you got drama in teenagers. You got drama in young adults. You got drama in old married folks. But David was literally running for his life. You say, man, I get this person that just won't let me go. You ever had someone, I mean, just like Paul, they were just your thorn in the flesh. I mean, God put them on this earth just to persecute you. And they're enjoying their purpose. David said, I got to depend upon you to take care of that. He had enough going on being in a dry and thirsty land. He said, I can't take care of that too. He said, Lord, I need to depend upon you to be my strength. Lord, I need to depend upon you to separate from my enemies. Lord, I need to depend upon you for silence from the lies.
Yes.
That's what he said in verse number 11. The last phrase, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. You say, what made the difference in all of this? I'll tell you what made the difference in all of it. Running hard after God. You say, preacher, I'm going through a dry and a thirsty land. Well, let me just explain. Let me just give you this right now. You might be in a dry and thirsty land with your marriage. You know what you need to do? You need to run hard to God. You may be in a dry and thirsty land with your kids. You know what you need to do? You need to run hard to God. You may be in a dry and thirsty land with your parents and not living right, not doing right. You know what you need to do? You need to run hard to God. Your spouse might be in that place. You need to run hard to God. Your job situation, you say they're wicked down there. I don't know what's going to take place. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to run hard to God. You may be here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you were to die tonight, you'd spend eternity separated from God. You know what you need to do tonight? Run hard to God. The problem is we've quit running to God. We've quit running. Oh, no, I've got this taken care of. If I run hard to God, what's everybody going to think about me?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yep.
You got to God.
That's right.
You know what I found out? When I got to get to God and those sit back there and watch me, I got to God, they didn't.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
But just because they can't get to God, I don't let them get to me.
Yep.
Run hard to God. You say, I don't know if I can. Listen, preacher, I'm just in a dry and thirsty land. Now's the time you need to run to God. Well, I don't know if I can. No, my soul goeth hard after God. Would that describe your spiritual life right now? You're going hard after God. Would it? Or maybe we don't even desire that. Or maybe we're just nominal Christians. Preacher, it's enough I'm here, isn't it? There used to be a day we wouldn't walk in and out of church without just begging God to make sure he showed up.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Lord, I'm walking into your sanctuary. Can I say this? We're over 11 years into starting that church up there now. You know, I still get thrilled, and I say this, and I'm thankful for it. I don't have my keys. They're back in my jacket. I didn't wear an overcoat tonight. I didn't need it. You know, I still get a thrill when I pull my keys out of my pocket and I get to unlock the door of our church.
Amen.
Because of what God's done there. Hey, there was a day 11 years ago that church didn't exist there, that church building. And being thankful of just walking in the sanctuary. I hope, and we had it for a little while, when they came through and tried to shut everything down with COVID a few years back. You remember that? There were some people that really started to appreciate going to church.
That's right. That's right.
We just opened up, and I'll give you this and I'll close. Our first remote campus just opened up. Some of y'all wondered. Our first remote campus just opened up. We had an elderly couple come visit the church, and they're living at an independent living facility in the next town. And then he went through a stroke, and he's on a walker. And one of the men from our church goes down to that place and has 7 or 8 in Bible study every Monday at that independent living place. And I get an email from this man named Frank, and he said, Pastor, he said, I've got it approved. We have a theater room in this facility. And he said, I've got it approved for 10 o'clock every Sunday morning to be able to stream the service of Granite State Baptist in the theater room. And he said, we're advertising it. He gave me the advertisement. They've been doing it for about 3 or 4 weeks now. Gave me the advertisement. They printed it out for their monthly calendar. First thing on the calendar is Granite State Baptist Church on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock in the theater room. And so every Saturday, I go by there. I drop off about 15 bulletins, and the man stands there at the door as they come in, and he's handing out bulletins. And I think last week there was 11 in service at this independent living facility. And I said, you know what it is? You wait till you get to a point you can't get to the sanctuary. And then let's see if our soul is running hard after God. Let me ask you something tonight. What is it that's in your life tonight that you just need to get to God? You just need to run after God. Would you stand with your heads bowed as they come to the piano and get ready for a song? They run hard after God. I don't know what it is.